Hello and welcome to the Ship Shape Podcast, a series of podcasts where we meet amazing people and talk about their experiences, personal, technical, and all related to the maritime world. Come and dive in.
This week on the Ship Shape Podcast, we are joined by Marcella de Kern-Royer. Marcella is the founder of the yachting consultancy and marketing company Onboard.mc, author of the first ever Superyacht industry textbook, creator and host of the Superyacht Academy 8-week yachting courses, which are held at the Yacht Club de Monaco. And that's just the start. So here we've grabbed Marcella from her busy schedule to discuss the state of superyacht ownership in 2022, what being a yachting influencer really means, and how to combat a lack of information about the industry. So my name is Georgia Tyndale, and I am a superyacht journalist and editor, freelance, and I am coming from Lancaster in the UK.
And I'm Meryl Charette. I'm a liveaboard on a Toshing Toshiba 36 in Boston, Massachusetts. So Marcella, where are you recording this from?
Hi, hello from Dubai.
Yeah? How's the weather out there?
Well, everybody says August is like the worst. They say there's two seasons in Dubai, summer and hell, and it's currently hell. We have, I don't know how much is that in Fahrenheit in America, I'm sorry, but over 100 probably. We have 45 degrees Celsius, so we don't have snowstorms like in Boston. We have sandstorms, so you need to check the weather every day to see if there's going to be a blizzard. So it's quite different, but to be honest, it's not that bad. Like, there's air conditioning everywhere, like in the bus stop, like the public bus stop has air conditioning. So I was scared to come here in August, but so far, so good.
I think they know how to handle hot weather better in Dubai than we do in Europe, shall we say?
Definitely. You know, like in south of Europe, south of Italy, south of France, and in Spain, it gets really hot in the summer, but there is no infrastructure for it, right? And you just die. Whereas here, they're so well prepared for it that you don't even feel it. Like, you just continue life as usual, to be honest.
So, you know, as we get into this, right, and we already know that no one just decides to really come into the industry, they just fall into it. So what is your wild and wacky story of how you got into super yachts and where you are?
Oh God. I mean, I've always been like boating. My dad has had like a fishing yacht in Guatemala. You know, Guatemala is very well known for sports fishing. So I was on a boat, you know, literally every weekend, and my dad builds his own boat. He has his own, like, you know, small shipyard in Guatemala, and he does like wooden boats. So, and then I've always, you know, been into the boat building and, you know, into that, but I never thought it would be a career. So I graduated from finance, and then I was in 2008 working for a private bank in Monaco. And as you know, 2008 was like the financial crisis, so everybody lost their jobs, and I was out in the street in Europe without a working visa, and I was feeling quite miserable because I thought, what am I going to do with myself? And then as a, you know, business school graduate, I was completely brainwashed that either you work for, like, you know, the top 500, 400, 500 via Forbes list, or you are in private banking. Nothing else is a real career, right? So I was quite like, you know, in a crisis. And there was this American company that just started selling underwater lights. And it was like, you know, the beginnings of underwater lights. And then they had offices in Antibes in the south of France. And they were looking for somebody to do sales to shipyards in Italy. So they really hired me just for my languages, because I speak, you know, Italian. So I could sell to the Italian shipyards, and then I could run the office in Antibes in French. And then they were Americans. So, and I studied in the US. So I had the American corporate mentality. So yeah, it was all about languages. But, you know, like you said, it was just like a big, you know, punch in the face. And, you know, you just gotta, you know, take whatever it comes your way, right? So that was just like a temporary job. And then, yeah, here I am 15 years later, stuck into the yachting industry.
How many languages do you speak, and how exactly did you learn all of these languages?
Right. So I'm from Guatemala, so obviously Spanish, but I went to the American school there, so English. And then I was learning French in high school. And then when I graduated high school, I went to France, to Nice. That's how I ended up there. I went to Nice to like Alliance Française, to like a French school for the summer. And then I stayed there. So then, you know, I had an Italian boyfriend. And then he refused to speak English with me, so he forced me to learn Italian. So I was like, yeah, the best way to learn languages, guys, is always through boyfriends. And then I was working for this company that wanted to open offices in Rio, and they asked me, do you speak Portuguese? And I lied, and I said, yes. I didn't. And then they said, great, we're going to send you to open an office in Brazil. And I'm like, shit, I have 2 months to learn Portuguese. So I took intense courses, but Portuguese is very similar to Spanish. So I was able to, yeah, pick it up. So, and then I never ever in my life thought I would marry a German guy. And then when I met him, I said, that's enough. I speak 5 languages. I don't need a 6th one. But his family don't speak very well English. And I really wanted to communicate with the grandparents and hear all about their stories. So then, yeah, I just took classes and I learned German. And then I got a job in the Netherlands. And they say, when are you going to learn Dutch? And I say, guys, that's enough. You know, I'm done here. I'm not learning my 7th language now. So that's it.
Yeah, I lived in Amsterdam for a few years and didn't learn Dutch, but I only have 1. So I have no excuses. Whereas I think, yeah, by the time, if you've got German as well, then, you know, that's pretty good.
Exactly. And German and Dutch is pretty similar. So I didn't want it to confuse it, because then you start kind of like mixing it, you know. So
Yeah.
And then in Holland, everybody speaks English, like everybody. Exactly. It's not like Germany, you know, Germany, not everybody speaks English. So it was quite easy. But my daughter is going to be even worse. So my daughter speaks German with dad, Spanish with me, French in school, English with the nanny. And now she's going to go to school here. So she's going to learn Arabic. So,
oh, well, you'll have to learn Arabic as well then.
I just know, like, you know, the basic, you know, shukran, inshallah, you know, yalla. That's it, you know, just words to get by, and then that's it. But I think I have other goals to focus on other than languages right now.
Yeah, I think so.
Awesome.
Very cool. So, so you've told us how you entered the industry and you worked for a company. How did you start building your own kind of thing and your own brand in yachting from that?
So when I was selling underwater lights, that opened the doors to a lot of shipyards. I was literally in a different country visiting shipyards, and that got me on my network of project managers and shipyards. And then I was also organizing crew parties, captain parties, and then that got me to, you know, to my network of captains and crew. And then I moved into yacht management, so that moved me into the circle of yacht managers and brokers. And then I was in a shipyard, so then I was dealing with sales brokers. And then, yeah, I mean, one thing led to another. And then I started also YPY, like Young Professionals in Yachting in Monaco. I just wanted an association where I could meet other cool people, like, you know, to network and to learn from others, and then organize, you know, just workshops and seminars. And I wanted to learn about everything, to be honest. I was really curious. I was like, you do paint? Like, oh my God, how do you do yacht paint? You know, tell me about it. You're in insurance. Tell me what are the most hottest, you know, claims. Yeah. And then I was just very curious, you know. And then I was always just about bringing people together and learning. And then, yeah, that's how, you know, I started YPY. So I was the founder and first president. So that's how, you know, people started to know me in the industry. And I was the one always organizing the cool parties. So everybody was just like, you know, I was doing captain dinners at the yacht club. I was doing crew parties in San Bart. You know, I was doing shipyard events and stuff like this. So yeah, just through networking and stuff, then, you know, people got to know me. And actually, how my brand started was because I started Snapchatting. Oh my God, I sound like a dinosaur. But I started in the area of Snapchat. I love Snapchat, by the way. It's my favorite platform, but I don't use it as much, but it is my favorite platform. And then I started just sharing my day-to-day life in Monaco and the shipyard life. And to be honest, I never thought people would be interested, because for me, it's just like a garage. I mean, you know, shipyards are dirty and messy, you know, like, and I was just a bit embarrassed. So I was like, you know, not filming everything, but every time I would film stuff, they would be like, let's like show us more. And people were really interested. And then I was living out of a suitcase, literally going from, you know, traveling so much. So I was always just sharing tips like, what it is like to travel as a for business, because it's not tourism. So I'm not like a, you know, vacation influencer, you know, it's like how it's like to, you know, like do business and you have to go to this, like, you know, shitty, you know, cheap hotels and then, you know, get ready in the morning, iron your shirt. And I was giving all of my, you know, tips, like to hang your, you know, shirt on the shower so that you don't have to wake up all morning to iron. And I was sharing all of this, like, you know, how it's like to business travel. And then, yeah, people liked it. And then, yeah, that's how it started. And then I started a blog to share about interesting things I was learning about yachting, because I felt like, you know, the big media companies, it was all biased because it was all like paid infotainment, but it was not talking about things that I was interested in or that, you know, my generation would like to read about, you know. So then I write very informal, and it's very like, you know, when I write, it's like if I'm texting you, you know, so it's not like super elaborated. And I think like nowadays people like that type of like casual.
So, you know, you did write a textbook in super yachting. And the thing about writing books is it's usually a reflection of your own internal type of scenario that you're in. So can you explain what it was like when you first got into the industry and what that learning curve was like? And like, how did you really manage that?
Yeah, so actually, like you said, like the book is just like my personal notebook, to be honest. I was so frustrated that, you know, we are selling the most expensive assets. Like it's more expensive than a jet, than a helicopter, than the villas and the cars, you know. We have the most exclusive industry, sophisticated industry, and yet there was no information, you know. There was absolutely no information. And then I remember when I was in yacht management and people were talking to me about ISM, ISPS, and I was just like, where do I learn this? Like, what is this, you know? And I didn't want to be like the stupid person in the room, you know, and I always wanted to learn. So I was always just like Googling and stuff like this. And I was like, guys, like, where do I learn this? And then when I was in the shipyard, you know, people were talking about, you know, bulwarks and, you know, GM value and displacements and stuff like this. And I was always like, I mean, I'm not a naval architect, but I want to know, you know. And I was just like, where do I learn this, you know? And the thing is that, you know, because of the association, I was always inviting people. I'm like, you're a naval architecture, dude. Like, can you just come and explain me in easy terms what I need to know about engineering, you know? And then, like, this type of curiosity. And then if you see my book, it's written in a very easy, like, yachting for dummies type of language, because I didn't want it to be a textbook. I wanted it to be something for me, you know? It's like, you know, a book for me when I joined the industry that you can explain me the yacht building process, because there was nothing. You know, when I wrote the book, I interviewed the top biggest shipyards, Lurset, Fetchip, Ocean. I interviewed the biggest and I say, guys, can you just, you know, tell me what is the yacht building process? I'm sure you have like loads of PDFs and documents about it. Just send them to me, I'll edit it. No, it's never been written, ever. Ever, you know. And then when I was in the shipyard, I'm like, what is the difference between commissioning, launching, and delivery? It all sounded the same, you know. And the news and media is like, yacht is being commissioned, and I thought it was being delivered. I'm like, how am I supposed to know? And the whole industry just pretends that they know, but they don't, you know. And they are too afraid to ask questions because there is this big elephant in the room that everybody's supposed to know everything, you know. But like, you know, my husband is in finance, I studied finance. Like, there you know everything because you study it, because there's books, because there's courses, because there's everything, you know. But in the yachting industry, like, there is nothing, you know. There is nothing, there was nothing. So yeah, basically it was, like I said, just like my notebook and just me interviewing people out of curiosity and writing it in a way that would be like somebody with like me that has no attention span would read it.
So one of the things about it, right, is the maritime industry and yachting and all of that, because there really is no established kind of like education. And, you know, for the most part, you kind of have to learn along the way through meeting people and listening and hearing what they're doing. How does that affect how quickly someone can actually climb into the industry? How can that affect someone's career path?
The thing is that, honestly, I've met a lot of people that are on top of the ladder that still don't know, you know, and it's okay, you know, but they are just too afraid to admit it or to ask, you know. And I feel like there's a lot of newcomers and young people that are super passionate, and then, you know, now they have the resources to learn, which is going to give them years of competitive advantage. I guarantee you, there's a lot of brokers out there that don't know what my students know, 100%. You know, I launch sometimes from time to time, like teasers of quizzes I do to my students, and like people that have been in the industry 25 years, they're like, whoa, Marcela, that's hard. Even I didn't know the answers, you know? So it's just to show that there is a lack of this type of information. And then, you know, knowledge is power. And there's a few people that like to keep it that way. So when I started, you know, doing my books and my teachings and sharing stuff on social media, I actually got some of the, you know, big boys and whatever to kind of say like, oh, don't share too much information, Marcela. Like, you know, this is an exclusive industry, you know, for the selected few. And then they really didn't like it. You know, it's like, it was so hard for me to get there. Like, why are you, you know, bringing everybody into it? You know, let's keep it, you know, close. And I said, well, because it was so hard for me to get here, I would like to open the path for the newcomers and say like, guys, I fell down in a hole, be careful, or let me open the way here for you, because now I know something, because I'm in the mountain and I can see clear, so I can help you out, you know? Whereas other people, they're like, I'm in the mountain, it was so hard to get here, I'm not gonna help anybody, they should go and fall where I fell, you know, learn their lesson, you know, learn the hard way. Whereas me is like, why don't I help you, you know, like get there?
Yeah. I mean, obviously, when it comes to super yachts, there's always going to be questions about non-disclosure agreements and obviously protecting owners. And we all, when we work within the industry, we all respect that. That's important. But I think it's a very important distinction, isn't it, between privacy, exclusivity, and then just hoarding information. I think it's finding that balance, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think that by sharing information, you are not disclosing the name of the UBO. You're not disclosing private information, you know, but like I said, a lot of people like to keep the power this way and they don't like to share information. And then the answer is like, oh, I cannot tell you that. And I'm like, yeah, that information is not going to reveal anything about the owner, you know, but it's just their excuse, you know, just to, you know, keep power to themselves, because they know that knowledge is power, you know. So, and I think that nowadays owners are a lot more well-educated, and then before they would just trust blindly what one broker said and then maybe, you know, get burned. Whereas nowadays they like to be more informed. And then I've spoken to, you know, the CEO of Fraser, who tells me that, you know, they have meetings where the kids know a lot more than the owners themselves. And then these kids who are really passionate about boating, they really like, you know, they learn about the models and the this and the that. And they are really, you know, because now we have the power of the internet, so if you're interested in something, you can learn as much, whereas before you really had to rely on what the professional said.
Yeah. So where are these, you allude to these kids, where would they be getting their information about yachting then? Is it social media? And if so, which platforms and who are they getting it from?
So what I like to do is share like small snippets about, you know, the yachting industry. I like to promote the yachting lifestyle, on what can you do, because I know a lot of people that could afford a yacht, but they don't, just because they don't even know where to start, you know what I mean? And then it seems like such an exclusive thing that is only for the super, you know, billionaires, but it's not. And, you know, whenever you make them comfortable, then you're bringing new people to the industry, and it's just helping the entire ecosystem, right? So, yeah, they can learn through my books, my blogs, my, you know, I have a yachting masterclass, which I'm launching now in Dubai, joining the Young Professionals Association, going to, now I have a Women in Yachting initiative where you go and do, you know, networking, learning events, seminars, conferences, and stuff like this. So it's all about, you know, it's not about what you know, it's all about who you know, but it's all about cultural sensitivity and going to boat shows and knowing how boating is different in the US than in Dubai, than in the Caribbean, than in Europe, and how, you know, the culture affects how you use a boat.
Well, one of the things that I love about the maritime industry and yachting and just like everything in general is that we're all connected by like a seascape, right? It's less about, you know, dealing with, I feel like, US people versus English people versus people out in Dubai. We're all kind of in the same industry, and those boats do travel like across the ocean. So, well, I guess, what are some tips on the social dynamics of the, you know, yachting industry and communication and things like that? Well, in terms of you're dealing with so many different cultures, I don't know, just speak on, you know, your experience when it comes to connecting with people.
I think like what I love about boating is that there is this like, you know, unspoken like brotherhood. Like, you know, when you're on a boat, even if it's like a big boat and a small boat, they still like wave at each other. You know, there's this kind of like community. This is this time of bonding because we like the same thing. We like being in the ocean. We like that, you know, it doesn't matter the size, you know, you will still like wave, you know. So I think that in the end, it doesn't matter if you're in a kayak or in a super yacht, you know, it's still the same feeling and effect of being in the water. In terms of cultures, you know, like in Latin America, for example, using boats is like to go fishing, but you don't necessarily sleep on board. You know, Latin American people would not sleep on board like we do in Europe, where you charter for 1-2 weeks over summer, or for a month, you know. It's kind of like a day boating type of thing. You go out, you swim, you're back, you know, you barbecue at home. It's more like, you know, also in Florida, you know, it's not that you spend, you know, 10 days on board a yacht in Florida, you know, maybe you go to the Bahamas and back, you know. Also in Dubai, it's like a day trip or even like hours. Like they rent yachts, like super yachts are rented by the hour. You can rent a super yacht for 4 hours, something that would never, ever happen in Europe, you know. They would never allow it. So I think like different cultures have different ways of using boats. Like in Asia, Hong Kong, you have a lot of yachts that don't even have engines. That's the joke, because they don't take the boat out, you know. Like the boat is just like a entertainment platform where you invite business people and you do your karaoke's and, you know, you close your business deal because it's on a boat and it's cool, better than being in an office, but you don't necessarily take the boat out, you know. And then, you know, boating in the Holland, and you know what is the country that has the most boats per capita?
United States.
I would guess the Netherlands.
It's actually Sweden, believe it or not.
Ooh.
I mean, per capita, right? Like boats, I mean, it's a population. So, yeah. But also, like, in Holland, like, every person has a boat. It doesn't matter the size, you know? Like, everybody has, like, a small boat, right? Which is funny because, you know, you would think it would be, like, Spain or something in the cold environments. But, you know, Dutch people, they go sailing in the worst conditions ever. And they love it. And they're suffering. And I'm like, why am I in a boat when it's cold? But they absolutely love the wind and the elements and the cold and, you know, gray, and it's absolutely only cloudy, and they're there smiling and I'm just sitting there like a Latin America, just like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I felt like the biggest fraud in the world because I not only lived in the Netherlands, but I also worked within yachting, and every single person there would say, of course you own a boat. And I was like, no, biggest fraud ever. But they absolutely love it. I think what you're saying about different cultures and dealing with yachts differently and boating differently is so interesting. But obviously what you're doing on social media is kind of trying to bring different people together and bring this kind of common knowledge. Am I right in thinking that you're known as the yacht lady on the social media? So I think you could be fairly described using the much maligned term influencer. What do you think about the status of being a sort of influencer in 2022? And does the term have any use for you?
Yeah, so I don't like that term because it has a bad connotation as, you know, a pretty little girl shaking her butt and looking cute. But what is an influencer is a person that has influence over others.
Exactly.
Who is an influencer in yachting? An influencer in yachting is anybody that can influence the sale of a yacht. So an influencer can be a lawyer, can be a captain, can be the broker, can be the secretary, can be the family office, can be, you know, whoever has influence over the owner's decision to buy a yacht. That is an influencer. Right? That's the real on it. And an influencer is somebody that has the power to influence you in a certain behavior, you know? So I like to feel I influence people to buy yachts or know about the yachting lifestyle, to know more about the yachting industry. And there is difference between an influencer that is just like a spokesperson of an industry, but I'm also a content creator, which is a completely different ball games, you know. So, you know, I have a marketing agency, but I have like a team of videographers, photographers, copywriters. I have the whole package of creating content, right? So we do full video, short video. I do the script. I do the creative storyboard. I do, you know, the websites, the brochures. You know, I do like, I create like real content, even though if it's not on my channels, but I create content for other brokers, for shipyards. You know, you don't even know that it's me, but it's me who kind of like created that content. So I don't like to call myself an influencer because first and foremost, I'm a consultant. So I'm a business consultant in corporate strategy for shipyards, marinas and brokerage houses. I'm an author and a business owner and a mother, which is my favorite title, amongst many other, you know, titles. So I don't like it when people introduce me as an influencer because I feel it diminishes my professionalism in a way. If you see me as an influencer to share, you know, positivity and good values and, you know, inspire people to join the industry, buy a yacht, then in that connotation, I like it. But I think that that term has been really wrongly used in social media lately. So I don't appreciate it when people call me an influencer. So I would just like to make that clarification, you know, is that, yes, I do have the power because I've, you know, sold yachts, charter yachts through my channels. And that's what an influencer is, right? Is influencing a behavior.
For sure. So tell us, do you think you have sold yachts yourself through what you've done, directly or indirectly?
Yeah, so like this year, a yacht owner contacted me saying, you know, I want to sell my yacht. And then I said to him, yeah, sure, I can put you in contact with some brokers. And he was like, no, I want you to sell my yacht. And I'm like, but I'm not a broker. And he's like, come on, Marcela, I'm sure you know how to do that. And then I was like, no, I'm really serious. Like, I'll put you in contact with some brokers, friends of mine. He's like, I don't want to meet anybody. I want to deal only with you. Here's my boat. Do whatever you want. And then I asked him, I said, well, you know, I need to do photo, video, brochures, like, how much money you want? And then I, you know, created like a very low budget marketing strategy, but created like an awesome YouTube video, you know, a walkthrough video, a lifestyle video, you know, a social media content. And as soon as I posted it, this client in Germany saw the YouTube video, and the next day he took a flight and went to see it and made an offer. And I was like, fast yacht sales in ever, you know, normally it takes a lot of viewings and a lot of like things. So I'm proud to say that, you know, because of my video, in 30 days I sold a yacht representing both buyers. So that was really cool. And then I've done a lot of charters as well, even though I'm not a broker, but I collaborate with other brokers, and a lot of people just reach out to me, you know, hey, I want to charter a boat. So I've done many charters on through social media.
But would you have ever considered going into yacht brokerage properly yourself?
To be honest, it's not that I wanted to, but kind of like my career is leading to it, you know. But I work with other brokers, so I don't want to compete with other brokers, you know, because
makes sense.
So, I mean, I have many business, right? One is business consulting, then I have my marketing agency, and then I have the educational channels. So my yachting masterclass, my books, I do also corporate trainings and coachings. So yeah, like eventually I will be doing a lot more yacht sales and charters, but I won't be only a broker, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, definitely.
When it comes to recreational boating in the United States, there's all sorts of problems when it comes to like hiring people. And obviously the big thing that I believe is the lack of awareness in the industry, which is leading to like a ton of problems. Could you talk about the current state of like employment in the superyacht industry?
All right. So in terms of crew, there are more and more and more yachts. So the demand for skilled crew is increasing, and yachts are becoming more and more regularized, and then you need more certificates and you need more, you know, so, and then visas is getting really difficult. So in the superyacht industry, what do you think is the most common nationality of crew?
Australian.
South African.
I was going to say South African.
That was my second guess.
Yeah. And then South Africans have a lot of visa issues. So there is a lot of just jurisdictional challenges. Nowadays, crew are having a lot of like, you know, mental problems because charters are becoming really intense. So they are, you know, pushing for rotations so that they have more free time. But it's really, really hard to find, like, for example, engineers. Like, they are one of the most, like, the highest paid engineers. They get, like, 10 grand a month or something, and they work only 6 months a year. So if I would be born again, I'll be a yacht engineer. But there is, like, really, like, everybody's dying to get, like, really good engineers. I mean, it's a tough job. I mean, you're in an engine room, and it's stinky, and it's hot, and it's, like, you know, you don't have a view when you're in a dark room the whole day. So it is a tough job, and that's why it pays really a lot. The problem with crew is that they're not very loyal. Like, they see it kind of like as a, trip abroad program. Yeah. Like, I'll work 2-3 years, make a lot of money, save it, and then, find myself a real job. Or they move a lot because of boats and stuff like this. So yacht owners complain a lot about, like, having to change crew all the time and that they are not very loyal. Mm-hmm. So we do have a retention problem in terms of crew. In terms of land-based professionals, again, there is a high demand for yacht managers. There's not enough yacht managers. They try to bring them from, ex-captains or from the cruise ship industry. But there is, like, a really high demand for yacht managers. And then, in my opinion, the problem in the yachting industry is that there is no regulation in terms of professionalism. I know in the US, in order to be a broker, you need to have a license, like a real estate agent, right? But in Europe, literally, I can print myself a business card and call myself a broker and I can sell a million-euro yacht. You know what I mean? Like, there is no, like, standardization in that sense. So I would like to see a little bit more of professionalism, and I would like to, contribute to the education of the industry.
Well, maybe your educational classes will become the gold standard, right?
I hope so. That's the goal. So, yeah, I'm working towards it, but I don't want to say names, but in the industry, it's run by a small association, and then they are not the easiest ones to deal with.
Well, I feel you on that one.
So you mentioned before that you're also a mother, and I believe that you've written a children's book amongst one of your many, many things that you've done. So I've actually, I know a little bit about the book, but I just think it's great. So could you just tell us a little bit about your children's book?
Yeah, so I was once in the yacht club in Monaco, and I had the honor to meet with Pierre Casiraghi, who is like royal family in Monaco, and he's an avid sailor, and he just did like a sailing trip around the world, and he came back and he was telling us about, like, his trip and then how he sailed around the world and the animals and the challenges and these things. And then I went back home, and then I was putting my daughter to sleep, and I told her this story, and then I narrated it, this, like, like how to build a boat and go on an adventure and meet whales. And my husband is like, that is a beautiful story. Aww. And then I put my daughter to sleep, and then I went in my computer and I just started typing it, And then I wanted the main character to be a girl, because my daughter and female empowerment. I just thought, if my daughter ever wants to do that, she should know that she can also do that. And then, so the book is actually a sailing, like, you actually learn about, port side, starboard, the weather, the waves. You learn about, sailing, the ropes, parts of the boat. So it's actually educational. It's like a sailing book, but like a storytelling. It's about adventure, and it's all about sustainability as well, because she goes and she makes friends with the whale, who tells her about the pollution. And then she feels that, the ocean has echoed a message that she is, like, now responsible to share with the world. So she goes back to land to spread awareness about sustainability and protecting our ocean. So it is a beautiful book, and that's how it started.
It sounds like we should get a copy of that to every CEO in the super yacht industry.
Yes. Because I think that the way that you change behavior is through education, and then the word sustainability is, like, so overused. But if we teach kids from the beginning, they understand it, and then you build conscience. And the only way to, do something about sustainability is through education. And this is a way that you can, brainwash them in a positive way in the future. If they read these stories, and then they will start caring about the ocean and realizing about the problems from an earlier on. And then it will give them also, it comes with like a sailing logbook, so they can imagine that they're going sailing, and then they have to write the time, the weather, So it brings them into this, like, it's an interactive thing that they can put stickers, and they, they will want to go boating one day if they don't,
Yeah. You mentioned already about the fact, obviously, you've got a daughter, and you mentioned before that you're doing things around inclusivity and female empowerment in yachting. I hesitate to ask the question because I always end up asking it, but I keep asking it because it's important. Where are we up to with that, do you think, in terms of yachting and boating being a man's world?
Yeah, so when I started it, the only women in yachting were like in marketing or as a receptionist or charter broker. That's it. There was no woman, in any like top senior powerful positions, but that has changed a lot. Like nowadays, yeah. like I see a lot of women, which of course I feel like it's not even a conversation anymore that we should be having. That's so like, you know, 10 years ago. I hope now that women have the same rights. There's still a big pay gender difference, which yeah. I'm hoping, you know, we're also raising this awareness that there should not be any difference in salary between men and women. There is a lot more of women captains. Actually, you know that the captain on the biggest super yacht in the world is female. Do you know the boat?
Georgia, what is it?
I don't know.
Rev.
Rev. Oh, yes.
So, yeah, so, you know, like the captain on the biggest super yacht in the world is female. And there's a lot of, there's like a group of like female deckhands on Facebook. And then, you know, it's becoming more common thing. So we see women in male roles a lot more. And I think times have changed. Like I feel so old now, but when I started in the industry, some people didn't want to, you know, I was like the sales director of a shipyard and some people didn't want to deal with me because I was a woman, but then my boss would tell them, you know, speak to her and then that's it, you know? So I think that as a woman, you do need to do double your job. Like first, you really need to know what you're talking about and then you need to gain the respect and then you do your job. So actually it's like twice the effort because first you need that recognition and respect and then you do your job, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm interested in hearing about this sailboat that you have. What is it? Where have you taken it? You know, tell me about that. How long have you been sailing?
So we don't use it as much as I would like to, of course, because we don't have free time. We have a small Bavaria 32, and we actually, during our university years, me and my husband, we lived on board. So we lived there for 3 years. So, yeah, I mean, all over the Med, you know, our lifelong dream is to own an oyster sailboat and then sail around the world. I actually know some people that did it with their young kids and they did like homeschooling for 4 years. And that's like a dream to be able to take, you know, my kids around the world and just do like a one year tour around the world. That would, you know, I would love that. So we'll see. I mean, I need to, you know, have enough money to do that or find ways to get paid for sailing around the world. But yeah, both me and my husband, we love sailing. I mean, he was also part of the sailing team. So, you know, it's a passion that I would like to also my kids have it. And, you know, this sense of responsibility of taking care of, you know, just being in the ocean in nature, you know what it's like in the sea when it's all dark and quiet and the sound of the waves and looking at animals. I don't know. It's just my way of escaping reality.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, actually, you are one of the busiest people I've ever met. And I mean that in a good way, because you just have so many plates spinning and so much going on. What do you actually do to relax?
Yeah, I don't relax much. Yeah, I try to force myself to, when I get home around this time right now, I told my nanny not to come home for the next hour. But when I come home, I like to put my phone away and just play, you know, like play with my daughter, you know, and try to just be present as much as possible. I do get anxiety like we all do nowadays with the crazy world that we live in. I think not one single person does not suffer from anxiety. So I do like these like breathing exercises on YouTube or just find like an app or something and just take a break and then do my breathing just to calm down, you know, because of course we are all going through, you know, we're living a crazy life and our brains are not used to this amount of stimuli and notifications and expectations and social media. So I do take my Nidra yoga types of breaks to try to meditate, yoga, sleep, exercise as much as everybody try to fit it in is really difficult. But I wish I could do more and I should do more because overworking is affecting my health as well. So I don't know how to answer this. I'm not the best relaxing person.
Yeah. No, it is really hard finding that balance, especially when you're in the sort of media sphere and, you know, things are always happening. And also with yachting, what I found is it's very personable, which is one of the great things about it. But it also means that people just contact you. And I'm sure this must happen all the time to you. People contacting you at funny times, even if they're asking you to sell their yacht, which is great. You think, you know what, I'm maybe like 5 minutes off from this.
Yeah, I mean, I love helping people, but they just didn't realize that I just can't do it all, you know? And then people call me for everything. Like, I have a new business idea. Can I call you? I'm going to change careers. Can I call you? a problem because this new product is not selling. Can I call you? You know, it's just like, and I always like try to say yes. And I have a lot of students. I teach at universities. I have my own courses. Yeah. And then all of these students are always reaching out. And I try my best to accommodate everything, but I just can't do it all sometimes, you know. And then, you know, I have LinkedIn, Instagram, Facebook, WhatsApp, Snapchat, you know, TikTok. And then I get so many DMs, plus my personal emails, plus work emails, you know, the amount of notifications and attack, you know, stimuli that I get every day. It's really hard to handle.
Yeah, definitely.
So as we kind of get near the end, what type of pro tips would you give to getting into the industry? You know, it could be 1, 2, 3, you know.
Yeah. So, I mean, network, you know, try to go to boat shows, try to join associations, try to, I don't know, volunteer, you know, as much as you can. Try to talk to people that are out of your comfort zone. If it's like a different race or culture or position, like, you know, we will learn so much from meeting people that are different than you. Just expand your mentality, you know, like go talk to people you would never, ever talk to. Go talk to crew and captains and brokers, you know, and network. Be curious. Don't be shy. You know, there is no stupid questions. Learn as much as you can, of course, by the book. You know, if you're interested, then, you know, learn more, you know, not only my yachting masterclass, but there are other courses if you want to learn about stuff about like crew on board. There's so many courses for crew. There's not so many courses for land-based professionals. But, you know, just learn, you know, try to find what are you passionate about. Because, you know, if you're a broker for the sake of being a broker, but you hate it, you're not going to be a good one, you know. Whereas if you're an engineer and you love it, you know, you're going to be making a lot of money having, you're going to work only 6 months a year and you're going to be the happiest, you know. So try to find like your passion, but be true to yourself, not because of what school, what your parents want you to be, what you think you should be. It's just like try to really like find out what your passion is. And then, you know, it's not always going to be fun. Like people talk about purpose and passion, and that doesn't mean that I love my job every single day. Of course I love it, but there's hard work and there's, you know, there is many things. And you just have to know that it's not going to always be amazing, but like the overall picture is going to be okay. But you have to wake up early. You still have to, you know, handle people you don't like. You still have to do the sacrifice and you still have to do the thing. But overall, this is what you like doing, you know, and then don't be stuck in a job that you hate or whatever. And then, so learn, network, have fun.
Awesome. So where can people find you? Where can people find your book? Tell us how people can get it, you know.
So if you're on Instagram, I'm on board with Marcela. And then I have a page dedicated just for yachts, which is onboard.mc. And then my website is onboard.mc. And then in my website, you will find the links. And then the link for the book is thesuperyachtindustry.com. But there you would find, you know, my blogs, I just moved blogs. So it's a bit of, I used to have a website just for the blogs. So basically, like onboard with Marcela, it's all like social media. And then onboard is like the consulting. And then I used to have them separately because I thought, whatever. And then now I merged them. So now like I'm all onboard brand. Yeah, there's my marketing agency, business consulting, the books, the masterclasses. I'm actually posting a lot on LinkedIn. So if you want like real industry insights, then I post like interesting stuff in LinkedIn. Instagram is more lifestyle, boating lifestyle, super yacht lifestyle. I will start soon doing YouTube videos about educational videos that you can learn about, you know, naval architecture, engineering, yacht building, yacht design. I already filmed them. I just need to edit them. I don't know how you do it because the editing is the worst part. But yeah, soon they will be uploaded. So I'm going to have a full YouTube playlist with educational videos.
Awesome. Well, it was amazing talking to you.
Thank you so much. I think we've learned more facts about yachts in this podcast than we have many of the others we've done, to be honest. Maybe we should have done a quiz. We'll have to do one next time.
Yes, exactly. Like before joining or something like that, and then learn about this on the podcast or something like that.
Yeah.
The 7 o'clock here, so I'll have to get on. But thank you so much for having me, and I look forward to seeing it.
Awesome.
Check back every Tuesday for our latest episode And be sure to like, share, and subscribe to ShipShape.pro.